the most far off thing to make them happy, to make themselves feel better. People get facelifts. People get liposuction. People get implants. Why? Because they're unhappy with themselves. People color their hair. Now, some of the ladies, I'm just going to stop there, amen. How many of you guys realize when you've gone too far and you're like, come back? But you know, I'm going to stop right there, amen. But you see where I'm getting at. Sometimes people face life and they don't know what to do. How many of you remember what happened with stores such as Home Depot, Target, Neiman Marcus? They all had identity stolen. People lost their identity. They had their credit cards, their bank cards, their personal information hacked. And they had thousands upon thousands, even millions of dollars were stolen because somebody decided to go into a computer system, hack the system, and steal identity. How many of you realize that there's an identity that was stolen that the U.S. government doesn't know about, that Congress doesn't know about, that all the governments of the world don't know about, that the news media doesn't know about, whether it's local news or national news? The identity I'm talking to you about this morning is when mankind's identity was stolen. Let me say again, mankind's identity was stolen. Now, with any story, where does the story begin? From the beginning. It's the same thing with you and I. It's the same thing with God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was with what? Without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the earth. And yet the Spirit of God came down. And everything that you see was created. On the first day, he said, light be. Light was. Light was created. He said, trees be. And trees were. Then on the sixth day, God said, let us. Now, who is the us? It was the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit together said, let us make man how? In our image and in our likeness. So mankind was created in the very image of God. Now, the Bible tells us that God is the Spirit, and those who worship him must worship him how? In spirit and in truth. Now, if God is a spirit and he created you and I in his image, how were we created? Spirit beings, is that correct? We are spirit beings. We have a soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions, and we live in the body. Without your body, you're going to go home to be with the Lord. Your body is your earth suit. Just like a man who goes in outer space needs a space suit to survive the atmospheric pressures out in outer space, the spirit of man needs an earth suit to survive everything here on the earth. So God created man in his image. He created man in his likeness. He created us like him. When God created Adam, he took the dust of the earth. Now, this isn't scriptural. Now, this is something to think about. You have all different races of the earth. You got those who are African American. You got black, white, red, yellow, brown. And everything came from Adam. Now, was Adam created from different dusts? Or was there just some one form of dust and just something happened? I mean, that's just something to think about. So God created Adam in his image and likeness. He didn't go down and do the, you know, push on Adam's chest and breathe in his mouth. Adam was stood up by God, and God breathed life into him. A lifeless form took his first breath, and there he was. Let's go ahead and turn there real quick to Genesis chapter 1. And we'll begin reading with verse 26. Now, we're talking about identity in crisis. How mankind's identity was stolen. Now, how can an identity created by God be stolen? And it said, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Then we drop down to verse 31. Then God saw everything he had made, and indeed, it was very good. God created mankind in his image and likeness. When dogs get together, what is created? Dogs. When cats get together, what is created? Cats. When God, who is a spirit, said, I'm going to create something in my image and likeness, what's created? It's a spirit being. Now, a lot of people have preached on this, and I necessarily don't believe this, but people have said, does that mean that we're gods? Since we were created in God's image. No, we are not gods. We are sons of God. We are heirs of God. We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. No, we are not gods. We're not omnipotent. We're not omniscient. But we have his life. We have his nature. We have his ability. Because when we speak the word of God, circumstances have to change. Amen. It's not because I said it. It's not because Pastor Sam said it. It's because God said in his word. He said, speak to the mountain, and that mountain will move. You speak to circumstances, and circumstances will move. Amen? We were created in his image. We were created in his likeness. Why did God create mankind? Was it because he was bored? Maybe God was lonely. Maybe God needed a friend. The Bible tells us that Abraham was a friend of God. I believe that God created mankind to share his creation with. He created mankind so that he could have somebody that he can share his deepest secrets with, to share his life with, to share his earth with, and everything he created. And he gave Adam and Eve dominion here on the earth. Hallelujah. Adam was technically not God, but he was the God of this earth. Why? Because he was given authority. He was given power. God said, I want you to take care of the garden. He said, I want you to have authority over all the beasts of the earth, over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the things that creep on the earth. He created the earth for man to live, to enjoy, to fellowship. Amen. And everything on the earth was given so that you and I could enjoy life. Amen. Jesus said, I've come that you might have and enjoy life and have it to the overflow. We need to live life to the overflow. We need to live life the way God created us to live. He didn't create us to live life barely getting by. He didn't create us to live life so that we could struggle and to be miserable. If that's who God is, then he's not a just God. How would you feel if your child were to tell people that, oh, my parents are just worthless. They made me suffer in life. They beat me all the time. They caused me to be miserable. No, you would feel bad if you were a parent and that's what your kid was saying about you. That's not the way God created us. He created you and I to have a smile on our face, a song in our heart, a dance in our step, a victory in our mouth. Amen. God created us in his image and in his likeness. He said, have dominion. Now, I want you to think about this morning. He said, have dominion. Now, what is dominion? So, dominion is nothing more than to dominate, to be more than conquerors, amen? Not just conquerors, but to be more than conquerors. God created man in his image and likeness. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 that our whole spirit, soul, and body to be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're a spirit being, like I said earlier. We have a soul, which is our mind, will, and our emotions. We live in a body. And we're to dominate. We're to have dominion. We're to have authority. Amen. Here on the earth. Now, why was Adam told to have dominion on the earth? Because he wasn't alone. Yes, there were animals here on the earth. Yes, there were birds in the air. Yes, there were fish in the sea. Yes, he had his wife next to him. But there was one other person in the garden that Adam was told to have dominion over. The Bible tells us that in Isaiah 14 that Satan tried to overthrow God. He said, I'm going to make myself above the stars of heaven, and I'm going to kick God out of his throne. That's what Satan wanted. He was known as Lucifer. And the Bible tells us over in Isaiah, go ahead and turn there real quick, Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. This is Isaiah 14, 12. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation. On the farthest sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet, you shall be brought down the Sheol to the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook the kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners? And all the kings of the nations, all of them sleep in glory, everyone in his own house. But you are cast out of your grave. Satan was one of the chief angels in heaven. He was the chief worshiper. He was the cherub covering the throne of God. And yet he wanted to be God. He wanted to overthrow God. He wanted God's power. He wanted God's authority. So here we see Satan fall like lightning. Jesus even said in Luke chapter 10, verse 18, he said, behold, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. He saw Satan fall. Where did Satan fall to? Did he fall to hell? No, he fell to the earth. He said, behold, I saw Satan fall like lightning. So here we have Satan here on the earth. The earth was created. First, if you remember, it said the earth was without form and void. Then God began to create. He said, trees be, light be, earth be, clouds be. Satan was there. He saw God created everything. He saw God on the sixth day create mankind in the image and likeness of God. And he saw God give Adam. He saw God give the man what he wanted. He wanted power and authority, and yet he saw God give Adam power, authority, dominion here on the earth. Now, he's Satan. He's a trickster. He wants to deceive people. And he still wants that power. He still wants that authority. So what's he going to do about it? Is he going to sit idly by and watch Adam be a dominator? Or is he going to do something to try to get that power and authority? The Bible tells us that the serpent was the wisest creature on the earth. And yet, what did it do? It went up to Eve and said, did God really say that if you eat of the tree that you're going to die? Did God really say that? And she said, what did Eve say? Eve was the second person to hear the command. God gave the command to Adam first, said not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And it was Adam who gave that command to Eve. And she said, no, we can't eat it, and we can't even touch the tree. And he said, oh, God's just full of himself. You're not going to die. He just doesn't want you to be like him. So he tricked Eve into eating of the tree. And the Bible says that Adam was with her. Ladies, Eve was given the bum rap. It wasn't like Adam was 50 miles away in the garden. There she was. It says that Adam was with her in the garden. Adam knew full well what he was doing. Eve was deceived. Adam was not. Adam knew full well. Adam's job was to have dominion, to rule, to reign, to protect the garden, to protect his wife. Did he do that? No. He allowed Eve to be tempted. He allowed himself to eat of the fruit. Now, gentlemen, let me ask you this. Let's say you and your wife go out to eat in a nice restaurant, and you go off to the restroom, you come back, and there's some dude in the booth next to your wife with his arm around her, schmoozing her. What are you going to do? Are you just going to sit there and say, oh, well? Or are you going to do something about it? Let me ask you, Pastor Sam. Let's say some dude was schmoozing Tracy. What would you do about it? Would you say, go ahead? Or would you punch the guy's lights out?
Depends how old I am.
Whether you're 20, in your 20s, or whether you're in your 80s, you're going to punch that guy's lights out. That's what Adam was supposed to do. He was supposed to protect his wife, and he didn't. And we see that Adam didn't physically die that day. He didn't die. Yes, he died spiritually. That was the death. He died spiritually, but do you realize it took 930 years for sin to destroy Adam's body? Think about that. 900. He had so much of the life and nature of God that it took 930 years for sin to run its course. And here we have Adam and Eve. They ate of the tree. They died spiritually. And they realized what happened. They realized that they were naked. Now, Adam and Eve were naked. They weren't wearing jeans and t-shirts in the garden. But what covered them? It was the glory of God. It was God's power and God's glory and God's anointing that covered them. And when sin came in, they lost that glory. They lost that power. They lost that authority. So they realized they were naked and they hid themselves. And we have God walking into the cool of the day. And he said, Adam, Adam, where are you? Where are you, Adam? God knew where Adam was. He saw him hiding behind the tree. He saw him in those bushes. But what God was saying was, Adam, what happened? What happened to you? Where's my glory? Where's my power? Where's my authority that I gave to you? And what did Adam do? He said, God, I ate of the tree because my wife gave it to me. He pushed blame off on the woman. The woman pushed blame off on the serpent. The fault lies with Adam. Adam was supposed to rule, to reign, to have dominion on the earth, and yet he blew it. And mankind's identity was stolen in the Garden of Eden. And thousands of years from the time of Adam to the time of Jesus Christ, mankind had to appear before God and offer a sacrifice. Once a year, a lamb that was without spot, without blemish, had to be killed and offered to God as a sacrifice. But what did that sacrifice do? It only covered mankind for 1 year. Then the next year, they had to do the same thing over and over and over again. Until finally, the Son of God came to the earth. He was promised in Genesis, where God said, one is coming who you will bruise his heel and he will bruise your head. Jesus' heel was bruised when he hung on the cross. Satan's head was bruised when Jesus Christ descended into hell as a man and whooped the devil every which way but loose. That power, that authority that Satan had, that he stole from Adam, was redeemed back to mankind. Amen. Hallelujah. We read how Jesus, before any of this ever happened, he was, after he was baptized by John in the wilderness, and actually in the River Jordan, he was taken by the Spirit of God into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. One of the temptations, Satan took Jesus to the highest mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the earth and said, all of this I'm going to give to you only if you will bow down and worship me. So here we see Jesus seeing all the kingdoms of the earth and said, all of this I'm going to give to you if you will bow down and worship me. And what did Jesus say? It is written. He quoted the word of God back to Satan. The same test that Adam failed, Jesus passed the test. Had he bowed his knee that day, you and I would still be lost. Had he bowed his knee, and he would have, we all would have been lost. And would Jesus really have been given the kingdoms of the earth? Nope. But the redemption of mankind would have been lost forever. You and I would have been still lost in our sins. We would have been broken. We would have been without Christ. But thanks be unto God that God did the miraculous. He created his Son. His Son came to the earth as a man to redeem mankind back to God. The gap that was between God and man was bridged by the cross. And thanks be unto God, you and I have that life, that nature, that ability. If you've made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you have that life. You have that nature. But why is mankind still living life like they're defeated? Why is mankind still living life like he's worthless, like he's a worm in the dust? Oh, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. If you were an old sinner, if you got saved by grace, the Bible tells us if you've been saved by grace, that makes you and I the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Well, our righteousness is as filthy rags, and there is none righteous. No, not one. Yeah, in your righteousness as a human being. But Jesus Christ is your righteousness. He is my righteousness. He saved you. He delivered you. He set you on high. He knows your name. He knows what you're going through. The same Jesus passed the test that Adam failed. This same Jesus came as a man to redeem mankind back to God. This same Jesus suffered and died. Every sickness, every disease, every pain, every struggle, every trial, every tribulation, Jesus Christ faced it and passed. And he defeated each and every one of those for you and I. And because of that, you and I need to see ourselves the way he sees us. He doesn't see us in our sins. He doesn't see us in our past. He doesn't see us in our wrongs. He sees us in our rights. He sees us in our present. He sees us in our future. He sees us as healed. He sees us as whole. He sees us as delivered. He sees us as saved. He sees us as filled with the Holy Ghost. He sees us as more than conquerors. He sees us as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's how he sees us. But yet man is still living like that's not going to happen. They look at it as like in the sweet by and by. God doesn't want us to live like that. He doesn't want us to be destroyed. The Bible tells us that man is destroyed. Why? Because of a lack of knowledge. People have even said, sticks and stones can break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Also, people have said that what I don't know can't hurt me. What you don't know can hurt you. If you don't know that a stove is hot and you put your hand on the stove, you're going to be burned. If you don't know that if you walk out in front of a car, that you're going to die, what's going to happen when you walk out in front of a car? Do you really realize, do you really think that, oh, I think I'm just going to walk out on 376 and walk out in traffic and, oh, I'm going to be just fine? No. People are nincompoops. Those of you who drive know what I'm talking about. How many of you have ever been in traffic before and said, move? You don't have to raise your hand because we all know what that's like. You've been there. You've been the person saying move, and you've been the person that somebody's been honking their horn at. But what we need to know is what God has already done for us. He's not going to do it in the future. He's already done it. He's not going to go back to Calvary. People say, let us go back to the cross. But the cross is over and done with. Jesus already paid the price. He's already redeemed us back to God. He's already, if you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, you can be filled this morning. Jesus came. He died. He ascended at the right, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. When you're seated, what does that mean you're doing? It means you're resting. Jesus is in his rest. The work's already been done. This same power and authority that Adam lost, Jesus redeemed it back to us. And the Bible tells us that when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. Through the very gates of hell, Jesus rose up triumphantly, and he had Satan at his heels, chained and bound. And he went through the earth, through all the heavens. Everybody was celebrating what Jesus Christ did. How would you feel to be, let's say you had died in the Old Testament, there you were in Abraham's bosom, and you were one of the righteous, and there you see Jesus Christ comes, and he preaches to you and says, I am the Messiah that you were waiting for. And he goes down to the very pit of hell. And Satan thinks he has him. Satan thinks the battle is over. They're all celebrating. And Jesus Christ gives him the word of God. And God says, loose him and let him go. The price was paid. The price that Adam made for you and I was paid in full. And Satan was defeated once and for all. And here we have Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, rose triumphantly. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians that we are the body of Christ, and we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, if we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, now where is Jesus seated? Where's Jesus seated? At the Father's right hand, correct? Now, if we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, where does that make us seated? At the Father's right hand, amen? Some of you are getting a hold of that this morning. We are seated at the Father's right hand. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. All the power, all the authority that Adam lost was restored back to us again. We are not the sick trying to get healed. We are not the broke trying to get our needs met. We are not the depressed trying to get free. We are not the bound trying to get free. We are the healed of the Lord, and it's the devil that's trying to steal our healing from us. All of our needs have already been met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And it's the enemy that's trying to steal everything from us. The Bible tells us in John 10:10 that the thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, I am come that you might have enjoy life and have it more abundantly. Jesus Christ already paid the price. He's already done it. Everything that you and I could ever think of, everything that you and I could ever wonder and marvel about, Jesus Christ did it for you and I. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us that Jesus spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. In what? In his death, his burial, his resurrection. How many of you have ever been water baptized before? When you are water baptized, it's symbolic of Jesus' death. You died with him, and yet when you come back up out of the water, you were raised with him, and you are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us in Ephesians, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead and in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Can you say amen this morning? There are so many in the body who don't even know who they are. Yes, they are saved. Yes, they have been water baptized, but yet they don't know who they are. How many of you have ever seen The Lion King before? In the movie The Lion King, we see Simba watching his father die. Then years later, we see an adult Simba being led through the jungle by Rafiki. He says, I have something to show you. Follow me. And there we have the monkey flying through the trees, and Simba's trying to chase after him. And he says, your father's there. Where is he? Right there. And he points at the water. And Simba looks and sees a vision of his father. And there we see Mufasa say, Simba, you have forgotten who I am. You have forgotten me. No, I haven't, Father. Yes, you have. And all of a sudden, we see Simba looking dejected because of what happened all those years ago. And Rafiki says, look again. And he sees himself. And he says, your father is in here. He was the very spitting image of his father. The Bible says that we were created in the image of God, in his image, and in his likeness. We were created in the Father's image. When you look in the mirror, you are not your own, but you have been bought with a price. You've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus. When you look in the mirror, you may look like your earthly parents, but when you look on the inside, when you look at your spirit being, you look like your heavenly Father. You look like your Father God. It's like sometimes we see the picture of the little cat looking in this full-length mirror, and inside the mirror we see a lion. He may be this tiny little kitten, but yet when he looks in the mirror, he sees this lion. Instead of going, meow, he goes, mrah, and growls with the largest growl that he can muster. How many of you have ever seen the fourth Rocky movie? That's probably one of my favorite movies. In the movie, we see Rocky getting his tail kicked round after round after round after round. All of a sudden, he throws a right hook, catches the Russian in the eye, busts his eye open. All of a sudden, he's cut, and it's a bad cut. And all of a sudden, Rocky goes on the offensive, starts beating on the Russian. The Russian doesn't know what to do. All of a sudden, the bell rings. Rocky's taken to his corner. And Duke, who is his trainer, said, you see, he's not a machine. He's a man. So everybody thought that the Russian, who was hemmed up on all these performance-enhancing drugs was nothing more than a man. Then on the other corner, we see the Russian saying, he's not human. He's like a piece of iron. And all of a sudden, we see the heart leave the Russian and the heart come back into Rocky Balboa. Rocky won the fight because he had the heart. He did what nobody else could do. He defeated the Russian. Jesus Christ did what no mortal man can do. He defeated the enemy for you and I. When you look in the mirror, you are your Father's child. You are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You are an heir of God. You are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And when you see yourself, don't see yourself in your sins. Don't see yourself in your failures. Don't see yourself in your past. Your past is exactly that, the past. Look at yourself the way He sees you now. In Christ Jesus. That's who you are. That's not who you're going to be. That's who you are now. It's like the son, the prodigal son, asked for his share of the inheritance. And the father divided the inheritance between the two sons. The youngest son went off and lived in riotous living. Spent all that he had. And he said, the servants in my father's house are living better than I am. And here I am eating pig slop. Let me go back to my father's house. Let me be hired back as a servant so I can eat and live and be able to get back on my feet again. So the son goes back to his father's house. And what the son didn't know, that the father went out every day looking for his son. And there we see the father looking out into the distance. He sees his son. Now, what does the Bible tell us happened? It says that the father ran to his son. Hugged him, threw his arms around his neck, hugged him, kissed him. Said, put the robe upon his back. Put the ring on his hand. Put the sandals on his feet. My son, who was dead, is alive again. My son who was dead is alive again. Jesus Christ paid the price. And when a man becomes born again, he receives that life, that nature of our Father God. He receives his righteousness. He receives his authority. He receives his power. My son who was dead is alive again. The Bible tells us that we are alive unto God, that we are alive in Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us that we are seated in heavenly places now, not in the sweet by and by, but the Bible says that we are seated now in heavenly places. The Bible says that we are heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 9:12 that Jesus Christ redeemed an eternal redemption for you and I. Colossians 1:14 says, in whom we have redemption. Who do we have redemption in? Ourselves or Jesus Christ? In whom we have redemption. We have redemption in Christ Jesus. Our past was washed under the blood of Jesus, and we were recreated. We're recreated beings in Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, hallelujah, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, glory to God. Are you getting this morning? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Verse 21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's time that you and I need to live life with a little bit of heaven to go to heaven in. It's time that you and I need to take our rights, our privileges in Christ Jesus and live them out. Amen. Hallelujah. In other words, when we were talking about we're new creations in Christ Jesus, your old sin nature moved out and the nature of God moved in. How many of you have ever heard of T.L. Osborne? T.L. Osborne used to say it like this: little I moved out and big Christ moved in. When you became born again, little I moved out and big Christ moved in. You could even say it this way: weak I moved out and strong Christ moved in. Defeated I moved out, victorious Christ moved in. Sick I moved out and healed Christ moved in. Poor I moved out and rich Christ moved in. When Christ took your place, God didn't do one thing in Christ Jesus and a lesser thing in you and I. What he did in Christ Jesus, he did in you and I. We have that life. We have that nature. We have that ability. We have the very life of God living on the inside of us. We used to sing the song, some of you probably remember, I got the life of God in me. I got the life of God in me. I got his life, his nature, and his ability. I've got the life of God in me. We have the life of God living on the inside of us to bring us triumph, to bring us victory, to bring us out on the other side. Not to make us defeated, not to lord over us, but to make us new creations, to lord over Satan and his cohorts, to lord it over the enemy, amen. The Bible tells us that the enemy is under our feet. Now, the Bible says that we are the body of Christ. Now, the Bible also says in Ephesians that all things have been placed under his feet. Now, if we're the body of Christ, where does that make the enemy? Under our feet as well, amen. Now, if everything is under his feet and everything is under our feet, then what more do we have to worry about? What more do we have to be concerned about? The Bible says, cast not away, therefore, your confidence in him. For great recompense, that's what you'll receive is a great recompense of reward. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence. Don't worry. Have no anxiety about anything, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds fixed on Christ Jesus. Everything that God has is ours. We have his life. We have his nature. We have his ability. We have everything that we need to do. The Bible tells us in Colossians 3:9, it says to put on the new man which was recreated in Christ Jesus. Let me turn there real quick. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 3. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. The Bible, like we just read, the Bible says put on the new man. Who is that new man? The new man that was created in Christ Jesus. Who is that new man? That new man who made Jesus Christ Lord. Who is that new man? The new man who walks in his rights and privileges. Who is that new man? That new man who knows who he is. Who is that new man? The new man who knows who his father is. The new man who knows what benefits belong to him. The new man who knows that he's the healed of the Lord. The new man who knows that all things are under his feet. The new man who knows that Satan is a defeated foe and that his time's coming. Amen. It's time that we start seeing ourselves the way God intended us to be. It's time that we put a voice to what we want instead of what we have and what we are right now. It's time to put a voice to it. It's time to put a voice to who we are. How many of you remember in the 70s? Who are you? Ooh, 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 ooh. Who are you? A lot of people have no clue who they are. When you find out who Christ is, Christ will tell you who you are. When you find out who he is, he will tell you who you are. When you find out how good he is, when you find out what he is, when you find out what he has, when you find out what he's already done for you and I, he will tell you who you are. I am who God says I am. I have what God says I have. I can do what God says I can do. I can be who God says I can be. I possess what God says I can possess. And that's who we are. We are new creations in Christ Jesus. We are more than conquerors. We are heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Amen. Heavenly Father, I spoke to your people this morning for just a few moments about our identity crisis and how, Father God, what you did for us, Father God, you redeemed us back to yourself through Jesus. Jesus Christ made the important sacrifice for us once and for all, Father, that we would live life with a little bit of heaven to go to heaven in, Father God. And Father, because of what Jesus did, Father God, we can have and enjoy life, Father God. And with every head bowed, every eye closed, you may be here this morning and you could say, Josh, I've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life, and I want to do so this morning. Friend, I want you to know that Jesus Christ made the sacrifice for you and I so that you don't have to be miserable anymore, so that you don't have to suffer, so that you don't have to be defeated in life. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life and you want to this morning with an uplifted hand and say, Josh, pray for me, go ahead and do it. With uplifted hand, just say, Josh, pray for me. Hallelujah. Well, I see every hand isn't raised. You may be here also this morning, and you may have fallen away from Father's house, and you want to come back home. You want to say, Josh, pray for me that I may come back to my Father's house. If that's you this morning, I want you to raise your hand. Hallelujah. I see your hand. You can put it down. Anybody else? Don't be ashamed. Don't be intimidated. We are here for you. If you want to come back to Father's house with an uplifted hand to join this one, raise their hand. Go ahead and do it. Let's go ahead and pray this together. Heavenly Father, I come to you just as I am. And Father, I know I've missed it. I know I've missed the mark. And Father, I desire to come back home and to be restored to my full fellowship, to that full righteousness, that full life that you have for me. Heavenly Father, I renounce the past. I renounce the devil and every evil work that was at work in my life, causing me to be away. Thank you for loving me and restoring me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer this morning, you may have raised your hand, you may have not raised your hand, but you realize you are in Christ Jesus. His life, his nature, his ability lives in you. That's who you are. You're not going to be a somebody, but you already are a somebody. You're not a somebody waiting to happen, but you are a somebody about to explode here on the earth. And tell somebody about it. Tell somebody what Jesus did for you. Tell people how good he is. Amen? Hallelujah.